Welcome to episode 2 of our December special, Tavern Tales Family Edition, The Order of the D. Our players have finally returned to our home studio, and the next 3 sessions took place over September and October of this year, as we continue on our way from Red Larch to Waterdeep. Every December, we'll release the amalgamated adventures of our home family game. We hope you're enjoying the adventure, but please let us know on social media at tavern_tales if you're enjoying it, or leave a review on iTunes. But also, please tell a friend, tell a loved one, and share our adventures with those around you. And now, without further ado, the adventure.
Welcome to the Order of the D. I am Valeria Dragonia, monk dragonborn with the background of entertainer. My alignment is neutral good, and I am leveled 2 because we leveled up in the previous game.
Can you tell me something about your past that you have never told anyone?
Sometimes my dad would go out on trips, and on those nights I would learn to play the harp, and so I would ravage through his stuff. And I'd find these old records of, like, old songs that on the hand harp, and I would play them while he was out.
What was your dad's name?
Carcassonne Dragonia. That was my dad.
Well, this is a different story.
And who are you?
Kosti!
Well, what's your name first? Your real name?
Will.
And what is Kosti?
He is a dragonborn. Can I tell you something about my dad?
Why don't you tell us about your tragic story that you told me earlier?
Oh, what was it again?
You remember Kosti is older, right? He's 50 years old. And he, his tragedy is that he was getting married and bad guys attacked and stole his bride away. And he's been looking for her ever since. So tell me something about Kosti. Kosti's a green dragonborn fighter. And what is tragic about Kosti?
He's probably in the middle.
Yeah. So is he? So how old is he? You said he was like 50 years old.
Yeah.
And what is tragic about his life? Tell me the story.
Well, once his dad kept on going out, and his mom and his sister, so he used to practice his sword fighting with his dummies that he made.
And then he told me a story about how he was an adult and he was getting married, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was getting married one day, and what happened to his bride?
Stolen.
By who?
By the mysterious, mysterious last boss. It was a mysterious, mysterious father of a girl in another game of Tavern Tales Jr. on us.
Was it a Chardelon?
Yeah.
Many, many years ago, you were getting married. Kosti was getting married. And your bride was stolen away from you by a Chardelon.
Well, a Chardelon, other form, I'm guessing.
And she was kidnapped, right?
He's a big dragon, people. Big dragon.
Well, once she came back to the village of Dragonia, she came there and she was a dragonborn. She turned into a dragonborn by the one and only Chardelon.
How tragic.
Like, he bited her and then she, like, randomly turned into a dragonborn.
Wow.
I was like a dragonborn.
And so how many years have you been looking for your bride?
Like 10 million years.
Yeah, probably not that many. Maybe like 20 years? Maybe 30 years?
Yeah, let's say 30.
1 year?
You only were getting 1 year?
Very late in life.
It was actually like 50 years ago.
Okay, it was a long time ago. And what does Kosti swear to do is should he ever find the bad guys that stole his bride?
Yeah, but a short one needs to take that with Flash. Flash needs to do that.
Why are you mentioning our other game, Will? I don't
know. Because for Will, they're all interrelated.
Oh, yes, right. Yes. You see, a Shredlon kind of travels to different dimensions and just deals with different people suddenly, randomly. You see, because he's a big dragon, he can just
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. Does Kosti swear to avenge her if he ever finds the people?
Nope.
Would he marry her if he ever found her again?
Yes.
And what is her name, lastly?
Well, I think it's Flashers.
Flashers? Okay. So we got to hear a bit about Kosti's backstory. And Bensan, can you tell us a little bit more about Bensan?
Yes. Something new about Bensan that you may not already know is that Bensan loves fire.
Why does he love fire? Well, tell us the story about why he loves fire.
Bensan loves fire because it is purifying and because it is wholesome and true. It doesn't lie about who it is or what it does. It never obfuscates. It's always there. It's always burning. It's hot to the touch. It's kind of his element of choice.
And tell us about your character. Remind us, he's a dragonborn.
Right. So quickly, Bensan is a dragonborn sorcerer. He is a sorcerer from a draconic heritage or draconic ancestry, and he is a red dragonborn, but his draconic ancestry is a golden dragonborn's ancestry, so he has a gold flecks to his red scales, and also spends a great deal of time making sure that his outfits are comparable to his own natural state. So he uses a lot of gold embroidery in his red clothing.
Very nice. I'm Marie Claire, and I am not only the Dungeon Master, I'm also playing a character named Thayan Dragonia, and I am the cousin of Flaria. My character is a white dragonborn cleric of Bahamut. And things that are unknown about Thayan is that she has always felt like she wanted to do good and make a big change in the world. And so although she is lined up to take over the leadership of their small town and their small little county, she has run away from that responsibility to go and help her friends with their adventuring. When last we met, I'm actually going to add in a mechanism from Tavern Tales into our now Tavern Tales family affair, where this is a tale that is being told in a tavern somewhere in Faerun. Maybe the Yawning Portal, maybe not. It has been told many times. The Tale of the Order of the D.
Someone came up with a very awkward name for that.
One of the story changes that was recommended last game was that the skeletons were actually in a pyramid form, and an intimidating pyramid form.
Like cheerleaders?
Like cheerleaders. And I rejected it outright, thinking that was silly as a dungeon master. But actually, it was recommended by one of the players as a story change. So how that plays out in the tavern is the lady telling the story at the tavern is stopped by one of the patrons, and the story has changed. Robin, could you be the patron that changes the story? So as the skeletons march down the field to come and clash with the specters.
Sorry, but you didn't say it correctly. It's supposed to be as the skeletons come down to clash with the specters in a cheerleader pyramid form. Because I've actually read the tale in an old book that my uncle owns, and it's exactly like that. And it's the oldest version that in the world, pretty much.
Yes. So the skeletons appeared and were marching down the field in a pyramid cheerleader form. Yes. Thank you for that correction. And that's where we begin. And as the storyteller starts to tell the story, the fire crackles. We come back to the Order of the D. The Order of the D was settling down camping for the night when the mists across the lake filtered in. The specters formed faces in the mist, and the pyramid cheerleader skeletons marched toward them. Now, if I might continue my story, three skeletons were approaching from the east rather than the west. So we're going to put you guys on the map and put you where the skeletons can come across you.
Make sure you put Coasty down.
So, as we remember, it was now...
Two of the characters were up on top of the cart, keeping an eye on things.
I think I want to go on the cart.
So further down to the east, you see the clash starting to happen where the skeletons and the specters are having this battle. And you actually notice that the specters are, for the most part, elven in nature. You can actually tell that now that they're closer. And the skeletons, oddly enough, made up are mostly dwarven. They're shorter skeletons. You can even tell it from here that they are dwarven in nature. But the three that you see approaching you or coming to you look to be humanoid skeletons and actually look to have still a lot of skin on them, maybe fresher in nature, still have that fresh, crisp taste to them as skeletons. They still have guts and bits, and they haven't noticed you yet. So could you please roll stealth checks, everyone? I got an 18.
Natural 20!
Order of the D!
I only got a 20, but not natural.
I got a 19.
I got the lowest as Thayan with an 18. So we are well hidden. They have not spotted us, and they actually continue, if this is the road... and we're on the other side of it, they actually continue up and start to walk up the road. They start to walk past us, and we're just a little bit back in a gully from the road. Another thing that you notice coming up the other way, which you did not notice previously, was another skeleton and a hooded figure. And he's actually going to look for you. And he is yet to notice you. As the skeletons shamble forward, what do they sound like? What do skeletons sound like?
Clang, clang, clang.
Yeah, because they're wearing some armor. Yeah.
Hi there, I've got a bone to pick with you.
Just in front of you, this hooded figure comes across with his one skeleton and meeting these other three on this moonlit, misty night. He says to the three skeletons that approach him, "Oi, idiots!" Do you say anything?
No.
You do anything? You're just going to watch?
No, just watch.
Watching.
What are you doing? You're supposed to be attacking. All right, well, come with me. We have more to kill tonight.
Okay, so I'd like to do a perception check to see what sort of spellcaster or whatnot is. So is that an arcana check?
It's probably an arcana check to see
what his accoutrement kind of is.
I'll do it too.
Okay. I don't care.
Whoa.
I have rolled a total of 10.
Kosi, do you have arcana?
90.
No, that's a 16 plus your intelligence. Can you tell me what your intelligence bonus is?
It's a plus 0, I do believe.
Plus 0. You don't know what kind of spellcaster he is. Your role is enough that you can actually tell he is a spellcaster and confirm that he is some sort of user of Eldritch ways. What would you like to do? Oh, I'm going to say that just as a side note, anytime, once per game, that you would like to change the story, you can do it as just an action. And you, what you do is say, somebody around the table says something different, or you pause and you say something about the story. Okay, what does Coasty want to do?
I want to change the story.
Okay, so how does the patron change the story?
I know this story.
So the patron at the tavern says, I know this story. And what does he say? How does he change the story?
He like smashes, like there's this giant smasher and this giant hook. And then you see giant feet creeping around like a table. And then
there's a giant in the story now?
There's a
now?
Giant that is approaching?
Two giants.
And what kind of giants are there?
Like,
are they
a golden dragonborn?
No, they have to be giants now.
Golden dragonborn giant.
There isn't really anything like that.
Golden dragonborn giant. It's a dragonborn giant.
There is a dragonborn giant.
What about? Oh, it's a fire. It's a fire giant.
It's a fire giant. I have fire giants. You want two fire giants that are approaching?
And water giant.
There isn't. Well, there's. I guess there's storm giants.
Storm giants.
Okay.
Do we have any storm giants?
I don't actually have any storm giants.
But why?
Why?
Why yeah. is a giant and another giant walking down the road in the middle of the night?
Because they like randomly.
No, but there has to be a reason. What is their motivation for walking down the road?
I think DJ's dad did it.
Our Shardalon can't do everything.
He like.
Okay, so maybe you can just save your changing of the story for later when you've got a really good idea, rather than just add two giants for us to fight. Because we're only level two. We wouldn't be able to fight two giants that are walking down the road.
No, it's only like, have like 60 health.
They're really sick?
60.
Yeah, but how much health do you have? You only have 26.
I can go and fight them.
You'd probably die. I'm just going to throw that out there. I don't think you want to change the story just yet.
Oh, and a golden dragon appears.
Okay, buddy, can we not change the story at this time? And you can change the story later on?
Like when we kill someone?
Like if somebody died in the thing, right? So if one of the Order of the D died, you could actually say, no, that didn't happen. I remember, I'm a patron of this tavern, and I've read this story, and that's not how the story goes.
Okay, I'll do that later.
Okay.
Can I die right now?
No, not right now, but you can attack maybe if you want to.
I
want to
attack.
Under the dead of night, Bensong whispers to the rest of the group, "Quickly, come over here. I wish to explain some things to you about who that person is, who has corralled all of these skeletons. I do not know if you know this, Flaria, Coasty, and Thane, but that man is a necromancer of an evil bend, for he has resurrected the dead to serve his nefarious purpose. I can tell this, for he is controlling and speaking with these four skeletons, and he has directed them to attack these specters. It seems to me that his purpose is probably not good. Should we not stop him? What do you say, Flaria?"
"I think we should. It's bad, but I don't really want to attack because we might get killed. I mean, a necromancer?"
"But are we here to do good in this world, Flaria?"
"Fine."
The necromancer has yet to... Wait a second! Necromancer! The magic user has yet to notice you. He is continuing to speak with his skeletons in a quiet voice, what you would assume to be his skeletons. They have stepped forward and are huddled around him as he is giving them directions. He actually doesn't seem to be pointing to what is being attacked on the field. He actually seems to be pointing off to the forest, where you notice what looks like the smoke of a small fire is billowing up from the edge of the forest.
On the good side or the bad side?
The good side.
So the same side we are on?
Yes, but further down. Maybe half a mile?
"My friends, can you not see the smoke and fire?"
"This is really scary. This smoke and fire is starting to get me kind of panicked."
"And you're not concerned about the undead pantomime that is happening across the field?"
"Well, apparently they seem to not be able to come over to our side. And so that's kind
of..." "The skeletons are standing right there on the... The skeletons are standing right there on the road."
Well, the specters don't. And they're fighting the specters.
Is it possible that the smoke and the fire that is just down the way is where he came from? Was it the same direction?
That would be an insight. He's coming from a different direction, but that would be an insight check.
Sure, I'll see if that's... I mean, I'm Benson, so I probably don't care. I have a 14.
It certainly seems like it's a camp of some sort. You're unsure if that's where he comes from.
Kosti, what do you think we should do? We see this fire that is going on and burning down the way. Should we go and investigate that, or should we just simply attack these skeletons and this magic user?
Kosti draws his sword.
And then I, like, throw it at these skeletons, and then it comes back.
Is that a good idea? I don't think you should actually do that.
Well, so you throw your sword, so please roll your attack.
Seeing that he's about to do that, can we all get a surprise attack mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. before we go into initiative?
So let's roll initiative just to see where we are in the order.
I'm going to assume he hits. He's got like mm-hmm. at least an 18, and he did at least 10 damage slashing with the
throne.
So you're
throwing it at the necromancer or at the skeletons?
Necromancer.
Okay. Yeah, he hits the necromancer, who screams mightily at being hit. Surprised, he turns towards the direction that the sword was thrust and thrown.
And comes back.
I'm going to say that you don't know that it has that power just yet. So you have to go and wait around, because it takes some time to come back. You'll be very surprised when it does come back. Okay.
I will, on my surprise action, if you're okay with that, I'd like to go next. I will dash forward and do burning hands. And these spread out from me in a 15-foot cone. And I think I can get all four of the skeletons mm-hmm. that are in front of me. They each need to make a dexterity saving throw, which I don't think that skeletons are good at.
No, they are not. They're not very good at it.
So that means they're going to be like, one.
Well, let's see.
One, one, one.
What's your base?
It's a 14.
Okay, so two of them make it.
You didn't roll a four.
I didn't roll the last one. Nope. Okay, so two of them don't make it. How much damage does it do?
I press my two fingers, my hands together, with my thumbs touching, throw my hands out in front of me, and I cry out into the darkness, Ignis! The flames shoot forth with gold crackling coloration, and those that did not make the save take 3d6 fire damage, and they take half damage if they were successfully saved.
Okay.
And any flammable objects in the area also ignite.
I am safe. So I'm gonna roll.
So they take a total of 17 points of damage.
Daddy, I...
For the 3d6. 17 damage for two of those skeletons, mm-hmm. and then half that, which is, I believe, 8 for the other two.
Two of the skeletons, because, you know, they're wearing, like, very dry clothing, they themselves... You got the two skeletons that are a little bit crispier in nature. They've been out of the grave for a while, don't have a lot of moisture on them. They just ignite into little fireballs and explode with crackling pieces of bone shattering.
Like popcorn.
So, and the two fleshier skeletons, naturally a little dodgier, less likely to be flammable, don't take as much damage and are still standing closest to the necromancer.
More like just lucky.
Just lucky. Flaria, what would you like to do? You're up next.
I guess I'm most likely going to do an unarmed strike, and then I'm going to use my dagger.
Remember that you've got Flurry of Blows as well, that you can actually...
Yeah, I don't want to use my points yet.
But, I mean, it's a perfect opportunity if you want to kick them a little bit more.
Fine, I'll kick their ass.
But you do it after you first try to attack.
Let's do an unarmed strike, baby. Eight, three.
You missed with your first unarmed strike.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Your dagger.
But I want to spend my key point.
Yeah, do your dagger first and then do your flurry of blows and then your dagger, okay? So now you make two unarmed strikes in addition to your first.
Eight.
Plus at least 5. 13 hit, yes.
And 14.
Yeah, that's a hit.
So now you get to roll your damage, which is a d4 plus your dexterity bonus, and then another d4 plus your dexterity bonus.
Two
plus three is 5.
Okay, five. Yeah.
And did that kill the one?
Yeah.
So then she hit the other one with her other unarmed blow? Because yeah. Did she spend a key point to get two unarmed attacks?
Yes.
All right, roll it again then. Roll the other one.
Two. Plus it's five.
Okay. Yeah, both fall. Okay, and the necromancer presumably turns on Benson.
Maybe Thane should get a
No. Surprise he's just attack. Glaring at you. Oh, well. That's all I was trying to say.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He turns towards you and glares
he
at you.
He doesn't even get a chance to do that.
Okay.
Because Thane's in his face.
Well, the problem is, like, Thane was like, I just figured out how to turn undead and you guys just destroyed them.
Benson's like, yes, well, I have turned them as well. Turned them to ash.
Oh, Lordy. How can we know you're telling the truth again?
Well, I turned half of them to ash. The other two you had to dispatch.
My sword comes back right, but I'm not going to roll for that. Does not roll for my sword. Just comes back right now.
Thane looks at the necromancer and says, your evilness shall not be allowed to exist any longer. And we'll use her channel divinity, charging up to the necromancer. And hitting with her warhammer, she hits. And so she's actually going to do damage. She's using it two-handed, just with a massive over-the-head hammer into the necromancer's head, attempting to bring him down. Okay? So she did eight damage to this caster of evil. I want everybody to roll initiative now to see where we're at in the initiative order.
Hello.
Bane's at a 11.
I'm at a 12.
12, okay.
21. He has a...
Benson reacts to the necromancer glaring at him, and then Coasty, you're going to be up after.
If he is in fact a wizard, then he should potentially be weak on wisdom saving throws. So I think before everybody attacks him brutally, I will cast Charm Person.
Oh, good idea.
Which is my new spell. The color for that is Benson says, wait, my friend. And he waves his hand, which is the somatic component for the spell cast. Mm-hmm. And he whispers quietly with his eyes locked upon the necromancer, the magical words of Charm Person, which is like a Latin expression for, I touch your soul. And he has to make a wisdom saving throw or be my friend for the next hour. Mama, or until my other friends attack him.
Oh, you want to roll the dice? Okay, you roll it for me. Okay, roll. Okay! He's actually a minus one on his wisdom. So, yeah, he only got a five. Good job, Will, rolling that.
So the charmed creature regards me as a friendly acquaintance. And when the spell ends, the creature knows it was charmed by...
All right, so he actually looks at you and says, hello, friend.
Lordy.
And seeing that he turns with his expression
yes,
like
and
that.
And he says, why, hello, friend.
I then also take my move and I move right up to him and extend my hand to shake it and say, hail and well met upon a night as stormy and cloudy like this.
Yes, it is a fair evening, is it not?
Indeed it is. I'm sorry,
I have... meeting you upon the long run.
I have forgotten your name, my friend. My sincerest apologies.
Adria. And your name, I apologize. I should know it. You are...
Rather than steal from everybody else, I did get to act first in the initiative and I caused him to become our friend. What does everybody else want to do since it's now initiative and there's actions?
Become his friend!
You are out of combat.
Well, I know that doesn't necessarily have to knock us out of combat because one of my allies could punch him in the face and
Coasty,
it would kill the spell.
If Coasty decides to punch him in the face.
Which I hope he would not do.
Okay, Coasty, to your view, Benson has cast a spell to make the necromancer be friends with you guys. Can you tell me what you want to do next?
Well, I want to become his friend.
Okay, so what does Coasty say to become his friend?
My name's Coasty.
Can you use Coasty's voice?
No, that's Coasty's happy voice.
Oh, hello. And you are?
I am Valeria.
I still want to punch him in the face. What did you do, Benson?
This is my friend Adria. I am saying that correct, yes, no?
Yes, that is. And you are Benson?
It is me, Benson, as my friends have already said.
Yes.
Yes, and this, of course, is then the white dragonborn of ravishing beauty.
Nice to meet you, she says through gritted dragonborn teeth.
Are those teeth different than other humanoid teeth?
I would say that they're more pokey, more apt to consuming the flesh of their enemies.
Well, would you like... is this camp encampment down the road a little ways? Is this yours or is it someone else?
There's a small farmhouse down the road that is not mine.
Ah, indeed. And this is where this campfire is coming from? Is this small camp, this small farmstead?
I believe it is a chimney, larger chimney to warm the household.
Well, I will throw my sword at you if you attack us, if you try.
That is good, yes, no, he would, we would of course all fight you if you were to attack us. You would not do that, you are our friend.
No, I'm your friend, why would I attack you? He seems confused at this.
Valeria, she has her teeth gritted and she's like,
and
rolls her eyes and her eyebrows. Sans like
as much as Benson is not likely to succeed, we should let him try.
And I get ready to...
So, whatever were you doing with these skeletons upon the road?
And I get ready to pull out my sword.
We are, on the fence.
Adria looks at you and shrugs almost like, of course I'll tell my friend this. And says, well, this place, it has a natural ability to sustain and promote the creation of undead. I have found that I can magnify my ability to create skeletons and increase the amount of skeletons I can create each night.
And what is your intention with all of these skeletons?
Well, power, of course.
Ah, indeed. So where are you camped? Let us go back and have a cup of tea. I have a nice Earl Grey that I would share with you on this evening, of course.
I have a cave nearby, but I must watch my skeletons as they are doing well against the specters. Once I know that they can win, I can attack larger settlements.
Oh, indeed. So all of those skeletons out there are yours and under your command?
Currently, they keep the battle of old, keeps them interested.
So tell me, why is it you put those six in that cheerleader pyramid formation?
It has always been something I have wanted to try.
Oh, so...
Well, I applaud you for the gorgeousness of that display. If you had not done so, I would have assumed that this was some sort of natural phenomenon. But in course...
One gets bored with years of attempting to raise dead and having to kill the ones that don't turn out well. And I finally have a good pattern and a good way of bringing the dead back to life for my own purposes. It's quite interesting.
Oh, indeed. You are a fellow of great power and acclaim, as it were.
You know me so well, friend.
Indeed. I feel as though I do. Valeria, can you help me? Our friend here would like to rejoin our camp, and we may have a cup of tea with him. Yes, no?
Dare let him touch my stuff.
I would never hesitate to allow him to touch your things.
You have tea?
Of course we do. We have not yet set our fire, but this is but a small thing.
It has been years since I've been able to go to a settlement and have a good cup of
tea. You are missing out a great deal in life.
He is a human. And he has he pulls back his hood and so you can see him more fully.
Does he have green hair?
He doesn't have green hair.
I think he should have green hair and he's wearing a black cloak.
Oh, so what does the person telling the story, does the person hearing the story change the story?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm sorry, but I know this story very well. And he has green hair and a black cloak. And do you know where that's from, Mom?
No.
You don't?
No.
It's from Orad High School. The dude in the dark chamber with his little sister.
Oh, the evil necromancer or occult guy. Oh, what's his name?
Adria.
I don't actually think that that's his name, but oh, from Orin High School. But this guy's from Adria. All right, so he comes and joins you around. Adria comes and joins you around your fire. For some reason, he never noticed it because it was on the other side of
the wagon. No, we had not yet lit the fire. We had everything ready and set to go.
You you start to light the fire to go. Half of you have only had a few hours of sleep, but that's okay. You want to deal with this necromancer.
I just go back to sleep. I'm like, I don't have...
You're not interested in this necromancer?
No. I go back to sleep.
Saiyan sits cautiously, her hand still on her warhammer, but not willing to make a move until Benson says that there is need.
I think, but I could, like...
Fine, I don't go to sleep. I just lay on my pillow, and I'm like, I wish I could go to sleep.
I think Benson should, like, do a special spell, but no one could do. Only a special spellcaster, but it's not really special at all. And it's called Cremante Power Stop.
I will work on learning that spell. So just to rewind a moment, we go over, I make him some tea at the thing, and I quietly whisper to the group while he's immersed or off to the side.
Is Kosti going to help make tea?
Yeah, but I'm going to make him some chocolate milk.
Do none of you happen to have any poison?
I don't deal in that.
I believe that Kosti's bit is poisonous.
Indeed, it is.
Kosti, can you, like, spit in this tea for him?
Yes, and you do. Thank you very much. So you've used your dragon breath, a portion thereof, or how do you want to allot that? Just he can
just
spit in it?
His spit is poisonous.
That's fine. All right, so I make the tea with the poison spit in it, and let everyone know while we're making the tea. And I'll make my deception check on the... on that poison tea making.
Kosti going into the tea.
Well, he doesn't spit directly into the tea. No, he spits, you know, into something else which we put in the tea, into the tea.
No, yeah. He spits on like a tea bag.
Oh, even better. I bring the tea and Kosti goes to get the cups and spits into his cup.
Mm-hmm.
And then we pour the tea in, and it doesn't look like anything bad has happened, and Kosti passes out the cups. So can I roll with advantage, potentially?
Yeah.
For this? Okay, so I'll roll my deception check with advantage, or would you rather sleight of hand?
Sleight of hand, yeah.
And I hope I have this special power.
So I have a 19 for sleight of hand. I will get the tea, and then we'll feed him the tea, and then I think the plan would be then to, when he starts to feel the after effects of the poison, the spell charm person will definitely wear off.
Yeah.
And we will, seeing this, we will all then take our surprise action to lay him low.
Right, yeah.
With Kosti first.
Kosti, are you going to prep your sword for the attack? When he drinks your spit.
Yeah.
Kosti, then Flaria, then Thayn, then myself. And then I'll just have a conversation with him as I give him the tea.
So I would say that you still need to make a deception check to be like, there's nothing wrong with this tea. In addition to the sleight of hand to slip the poison in there.
Well, it's true that there is nothing wrong with the tea.
There's nothing wrong with the tea, but the cup, what contains in it? All right. So Kosti, what are you going to prepare to do with
your sword? I will make my deception check. Do I have advantage on this or just regular?
I would say you have advantage on this because he's charmed.
I rolled a natural 19, so that's a 25.
Awesome. So he doesn't suspect anything about this tea. He doesn't feel like he's about to be attacked, anything like that. Kosti, what do you want to prepare to do with your sword?
I grab one piece of food, then I spit on it, and nothing happens to it. It's not white. I just give him to it, him to
so,
put it in.
Do you know what the plan is? He's going to give him the tea to drink, and everybody else is going to prepare their weapons and their spells to attack him as soon as he reacts like the charms person spell has worn off. So what do you want to do and prepare for when it looks like he's about to attack you?
But he can't because he's poisoned.
Well, he might not die from the poison. Robin, poisons are all different strengths.
Yeah,
but his poison is strongest.
Something to do with my sword and thing.
Okay, so are you gonna have your sword ready to go so that you're going to hold your action until he reacts like he's been poisoned and then attack him.
And I'm still baking the golden dragon egg.
Okay.
He just has his sword out and he's stirring the pot with his sword.
I use my sword all the time to bake.
And I just like it off.
You lick your sword off?
And it does not hurt at all. It's just
No, then it's a poison sword.
Yeah, it's true.
It's actually
okay, and what are you doing, Flaria?
What are you going to prepare to do?
And I sit up and I walk out and I just have my hands in my pockets, but they're like fists in my pockets.
Because you're ready to punch?
Pull it out and punch it. And so I'm just standing there.
You're mentally preparing to attack. All right. And Benson, what are you going to prepare?
I shall go last. I shall prepare Chromatic Orb. That is my last
spell for the night.
First level spell that I have. I could use sorcery points to add a fourth, but that is all I have at the moment.
Okay.
So hopefully we will dispatch him before I need to cast a spell.
Let's play this out. So you
have. What's Thane
going to
do?
Thane is going to prepare probably something similar, simple like Sacred Flame. Just like. On the tips of her mind to rain down radiant damage on him.
But that's a dex save for him, or what is that?
A dex save?
Yeah, I mean, you could always just hit him with your things.
Yeah, I'll hit him with my hammer. I'll keep my hammer in my hand.
I can do ground pound stab.
How do you hand? Give me some color on how you hand them.
So I've brewed the tea in the teapot. I take the board of cups from Kosti and I say, thank you, Kosti, for the preparing of the cups. And I pour the tea into each of them. And the last one has the poison in it. And the last one is the one I take and put the thing, and then I pass the cup directly to
and he takes it right in his
Adria,
hand.
And I pass out tea to everyone else, actually, and then I hold the pot in one hand.
Okay, and he, you know, it's quite warm because it's come directly off of the fire being warmed, and he blows the steam off of the top of it and takes a sip.
Oh, and I say, oh, wait, you forget, but just before he takes a sip,
yeah.
I say, cheers for our happenstance and meeting on the road tonight. Yes, it is, what a wonderful thing. It has probably been a very long time since you have had opportunity to truck with strangers and friends.
Oh, you're not a stranger.
Cheers.
No, indeed I am not.
And he drinks his tea and, you know, it's a beat, Robin. Maybe two, and then he...
Mama, I...
I
throwed my cup.
You threw your cup?
And then it stays there and it comes back to me. Everything comes back to me in my life.
And it takes, you know, 2-3 seconds and he grabs his tummy and you hear this gurgling noise.
Is something wrong, Adrian?
And it starts to writhe in his stomach. And please do a D6 damage to his innards.
Me too. I'll do that too.
No, it's Kosti's spit, so you can do it,
Kosti.
Go ahead,
roll the D6. One of my red ones.
Yeah. Woo! 5!
Oh, that was the wrong one.
Okay, so you did 5 points of damage to his inside, and he's bending over, and he says, you've poisoned me! And he...
No, we have killed you. And then we all attack.
All right, so Kosti first, what do you do?
I ground pound stab him.
Describe how you use your sword.
I flip doing it.
You flip in and with your two hands and your great sword, you do?
And I flip turning and then I do an upside down flip and then I stab him behind my back.
Behind your back? So you rush in, do a flip over him and land behind him, stabbing him behind your back through his neck, hopefully. Please roll a d20 to hit.
He is like, ee! I'm sure that.
Yeah, he's bending over already, so his back is all exposed. Woo! All right, so that is a hit. Do your two yellow d6s, please. All right.
You've made such an awesome
plus
plan.
Your strength is 8 damage. Awesome.
It's a magic sword, right? So does it do plus 1 damage?
Yes.
So it's 9 damage.
A 9 damage. Valeria?
I pull out my fist from my pocket and I'm like, you're gonna die! And then I run up and I just strike him right in the forehead.
With a mighty blow, yep. Punch to his forehead.
And I use my ki and then I just stab him where I hit him. And then I hit.
Oh, you stab him where you hit him? So you're going to stab him with a dagger and then punch the hole?
Wow. 12 for a dagger.
Roll your two d4.
And so she's got 4 and 4, which is 7 and 7, I do believe. Yep. So.
And he falls forward as you punch him in the face, snapping his neck.
I take his teacup as he falls over. I reach out and I take his teacup so it doesn't break when he collapses to the ground. Mm-hmm. And I quietly say over his corpse, "I am so very sorry, necromancer, but you were doubtlessly intending the subjugation of the normal world, and this cannot be so." And I go to, like, I start to take a sip from that cup.
And I'm then, like, but, no, Thane!
Oh.
No. Thane yells and says, Besson, that's poisoned.
Ah, you're, and I just throw it in the fire.
And it kind of sparks with a green vapor as you throw it into the fire.
And then the fire turns green.
And the nice bone china cup that I've been carrying smashed. Around with me is smashed.
Since you left Dragonia.
And now I have but 4 cups left. The saucer is gone too.
So one thing, can I say a little bit of color about what happens? It's like the mist burns off of the field surrounding the tower. And the dwarven skeletons especially still continue to fight what specters there are remaining until dawn. However, the human skeletons that seem to have joined them almost crumple with no master to call their own any longer.
Ben Zon then goes back to bed.
Yep. And Thane says, I will watch. You seem tired as you almost drank poison.
Well, I've already taken my watch. I don't know what you're talking about.
And then I, like, drank poison?
Yeah, it doesn't affect you because it's your poison. It's what your spit is.
No, you, like, drank someone else's poison. You're like, this is my friend's poison. My friend that we talked to in the other episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like drinking his poison, but he spit it at me once.
You're like, I drink poison for breakfast.
So to recap, we intrepid band of 4 dragonborn adventurers left our homeland of
Dragonia.
And we set off to a small town called
Red Larch.
And what happened in Red Larch?
We stopped some bandits, earned some money. Flaria played a song.
And stopped some bandits. What else did we do? Did we go on an adventure on behalf of the townsfolk?
Yep.
And what did we do on that adventure?
We went to Waterdeep.
That was the most recent thing we've done. Did we do anything else in between? Did we go to a tomb and to a crypt?
We fought some bad guys, I think.
Yeah, we fought some bad guys. They were a half-orc and an...
Goblins?
Goblin, and we stole a bunch of gold from them, right?
Yeah.
That they had hijacked from a bunch of people who are traveling to the graveyard to visit their family, their deceased family.
The cemetery.
Then we traveled back with all of the bad guys in the wagon, brought them to the sheriff, did some justice, sung another song.
Yep.
And then met a guy, and now we're on our track to Waterdeep.
All right, that's a good catch up for us. Except, what was the name of your friend?
I forgot. And I completely forgot. We met some random specters, killed a guy who has green hair, and did some other stuff.
This character. All right, so describe your character for everybody, buddy.
My name is Kosti, and I play a dragonborn. What's green?
And what does Kosti do professionally? Semi-professionally?
Swing a sword around and breathe poison.
Hi, I'm Robin. And I play Falaria Dragonia, a monk dragonborn with a background of entertainer, and their alignment is neutral good. Again, I'm Robin, and I'm really excited to play.
I'm Kyle. I am playing Benson, but first I have a question. Your character is from Dragonia, and her last name is Dragonia? Is she some sort of royalty?
Well, my dad kind of owns Dragonia, but, like, it's difficult to explain. But I really wouldn't take on... pay for my food. I don't really... And like we said, we left Dragonia, so yeah. We're not really royalty.
Okay. That's cool. Good to know. I am Kyle, and I am playing Benson, the sorcerer charlatan.
He is also from Dragonia, but has spent many years abroad and is well known in the city of Waterdeep by a different name.
And what is that other name?
The other name is Valerian Flamekissed, and he talks quite a bit differently than Benson's normal voice that you have grown accustomed to and love so much.
I am playing Thayan Dragonia, the cousin of Flaria, but I'm also running the game as the dungeon master. And my name is Marie Claire. And this is my family and also the Order of the D.
The Order of the D. I'm all alone. We're going to do that together as a family.
One, two, three. The Order of the D.
We also do that when someone rolls a D20 on a day.
When they get a natural 20?
Yeah.
Totally cool.
Anything else? When we start initiative, do we chant that too?
Yes.
Cool.
So most recently, we were passing down the road from Red Larch, traveling with a wagon. A former comrade of Coasty's had asked him to take over square-shaped box
The cube.
On a wagon. And this cube is about 5 feet by 5 feet by 5 feet.
Kind of like a gelatinous cube.
Maybe. Maybe not. It is oddly shaped. It barely fits onto the wagon that has been provided for you by Coasty's comrade. And it doesn't seem to make any sort of movement. It doesn't have anything in it that you can tell other than maybe dried goods. But as you go down the road towards Waterdeep from Red Larch, you end up needing to camp for the night. And across the road from where you end up camping, something strange happened. Do you remember what happened?
Oh, right. The skeletons.
And there was a tower.
That was such a good game.
Standing on their high heels.
Right. There was all these skeletons that were fighting these specters.
They were in a cheerleader triangle.
And they were in a cheerleader pyramid. And then the guy who was controlling the skeletons came along. And he was like, hello, my name is not Slim Shady.
No.
What was his name?
I have to go check the book.
It's really irrelevant because he was killed. Do you remember? Do you want to tell that part of the story, Coasty, as to what happened to him?
By my poison.
How did you poison him?
I put it in the drink.
What drink?
The tea, I think.
What had Benson done to convince him to come and have tea with us, as he was obviously not amenable to having tea with us?
Did I cast a spell? Does anybody remember what the spell was called?
No.
The spell was Charm Person.
And he ended up liking you and remembering you or thinking that he knew you from days gone past. Sitting down with us around our campfire, he ended up accepting a cup of tea, which Coasty had spit into.
Why did we kill that necromancer guy?
He was raising a skeleton army to kind of kill people.
He certainly had nefarious plans, right? He had some plans to attack other towns and villages nearby and gain resources for his army. And what were those resources, Robin?
Undead.
He was killing people and turning them into undead. So he was killing people to make more skeletons and zombies for his army.
We couldn't convince him otherwise by means of persuasion because he was an evil person. So we ended his life in as humane a way as possible. It was very dark.
It was a very dark game. All right. So what have you guys decided to do with the body of the necromancer? All of the skeletons nearby seem to fall apart with the loss of his power. What do you want to do?
I say we cremate the body, build up a big pyre because we're in a wooded area. We can build up a big pyre, cremate the body,
yeah,
and disperse the ashes to the wind. Did we want to go and inspect this? Did we want to go and inspect the tower that was over there with all the specters that had come out at night?
Yeah.
Coasty, can you tell me how you want to approach the tower since you want to go in that direction?
So I want to sneak, then be like, if there's a little top of the tower, then I think we might be able to see the place where I used to work.
You used to work in a tower?
Yeah, I used to work inside a tower. It was the soldier tower, and it was very close to here.
I had no idea that you worked in a tower shaped like this before. Can you tell me if there are many entrances to the tower, or if there's just the one?
There's probably more now because they probably rebuilded it.
Oh, indeed. This is not the same tower that you used to work at, though, no?
Yes!
Oh, I'm sorry for offending you. I will continue to proceed behind you. So we are going to roll stealth checks to sneak up on it?
Sneak up on the tower, yeah.
It's I will tell like you all right now that stealth is not something that Benson is used to.
Benson, I'm worried about your stealth, and so I ask for Bahamut to guide you.
Bahamut's, I get Bahamut's guidance?
You get Bahamut's guidance in being stealthy.
Mommy!
Natural 20?
Order of the D!
What'd you do?
I have a 15.
I have an unnatural 20. So we're doing pretty well.
I got a 14.
We're sneaking along. We're hiding amongst the bushes that we can hide along. We're crouching as we approach the tower, taking our time as we wend through this battlefield. And one thing you'll notice about this battlefield is that the ground closest to the road as we approach it looks like the grass is dried and crispy. But actually, even as you go further, the ground ceases to have any sort of plant life even formerly growing upon it. It doesn't look like it grows plant life very easily. It's almost like the ground as we approach the tower is scarred in some way.
Interesting.
It's getting into dawn and doesn't look like there's anything around at this moment. Roll perception.
Sorry, I would have preferred that we all finished our long rest that we were undertaking.
Oh, and sure, yeah.
In the morning.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, this happens after your long rest.
But I wanted to say...
And after we got rid of the necromancer.
She steps on a branch halfway through it.
Snap.
Did you fail the stealth check?
No, she did fine.
I got a 14.
It's more than enough. Why did you... Did you deliberately step on the branch?
No.
You accidentally deliberately stepped on the branch?
Yes. And then Kosti sees something. He sees the little symbol of his old tower.
The old tower order?
Yeah.
What does this symbol mean, Kosti?
It's very bad.
Oh.
What does this symbol look like?
The new troops might be coming.
And what does this symbol look like?
Can you describe the symbol for us, Kosti?
So it looks like there's like a boom. It looks like...
A broom? Or
no,
a boom?
A boom. Boom.
A boom. Can you draw it for us real quick? Oh, like an explosion? Is there something in the middle of the symbol?
I'm trying to show you it.
What does the person look like in the middle of the symbol?
Look, so he has golden and blue hair, and his name is Flash.
Wow. So that Flash is an old knight of ages long ago, and there's some sort of like cult that follows him and his burning ways because he's on fire in the middle of this explosion?
No, it's lightning.
There's lightning too? Okay.
Yeah, it's lightning.
It's a cloud of lightning. Sure. How did Kosti join this soldier alliance? Or how did he become a soldier into this group?
Well, he used to be rich.
He used to be rich? And then what happened?
Then he became rich again.
Okay, so he lost all his money and became rich again. But why did he join this Order of the Knights?
Because they might, after you join them, they give all your money back.
Okay, cool.
And now I have I have poison and lightning. Quebec can come out of my mouth.
I think you can just do poison.
It sometimes however, is lightning.
However, you might work on that eventually.
Sometimes lightning. I don't know why.
Okay, so you've seen this symbol in the tower.
Yeah.
And he told us that it was his old order.
What was your old order called?
Singles called the Lightning Bladers.
Bladers. That's cool.
And they don't exist anymore. They've been disbanded. They're all... That's why you're with us?
No, some of them stayed alive. Plus me.
But they're no longer part of the same order any longer. It's been disbanded.
No, some of them.
Did my dad do business with one of the lightning blades?
Oh, yeah, interesting. You vaguely recall that?
It was for a stock in weapons at in our village.
I mean, the old dragonborn that you ran into in Red Larch was part of this group, right?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna add some color, and that the symbol is actually on a banner that is ripped and torn, hanging from a rod on the tower.
And I think Flash was in here too, but I can't remember it.
This is from a long time ago. You think that this tower is from centuries ago. You had no idea that your old order was so old with such a rich history. So as you approach the tower, actually, it's almost like a chill comes over your body and the hairs, if you had hairs, your scales on the back of your neck, the scales on the back of your neck almost raise as if they were hair because of the chill that is coming out in waves from the tower.
Can I make an arcana check?
Sure.
Just to see if this is something that we like. Can I get some guidance from Bahamut?
Yeah. Thayan says, may Bahamut bless you.
I have a natural 20 and a 4 on the guidance
check. Oh, nice. Max.
Yeah. For plus, the awesomest skill check.
What's your skill?
Ever.
Order of the D!
You actually get the impression that around the base of the tower is magical script that has long since faded, but is still active. And you get the impression that something about this tower ties these souls to this place for eternity.
Even though it's faded, if one were to like scratch them out in some capacity and destroy those runes, would it free those specters?
You suspect that it might. You might have to destroy the whole tower.
I don't expect to.
Because you're not sure if that's like the limit of the script.
Right, where like because the script might be elsewhere, so you'd have to destroy the majority of it. You're like, oh, so Benson says, the specters that come out at night, these specters are trapped within the confines of this tower. And you see where all the desolation and the lack of growth and wildlife is? That is the realm and the perimeter of the horrible quality that is infested this tower. If we were to destroy this tower utterly, if we were to rend the stones in enough fashion, that we would free the specters that are trapped here to move on to their next life.
Wait, you believe in the afterlife?
Well, there are many afterlives.
Okay, which?
Whichever soul ones these specters would necessarily go to.
What I was told is you die, your body's left in the ground, there's nothing. All I was told.
Bahamut has many options in the afterlife. We could talk about them, Flaria.
You see, I don't necessarily believe in a certain god, so it's kind of hard for me. You know the thing is with my dad? You know?
No.
Every time you would... The Bahamut's, like, prayer area... He used to, like...
In the temple?
Yeah, he would never go there. He always said that if you entered there, you might not ever come back. There was a lot of stuff he said about it. So I've just learned to, hey, you only get one life.
But we see the gods interact with us on a, well, if not daily, but certainly regularly. We see the gods come and interfere with our lives. How could you not believe in them?
It's kind of hard, you know, because everyone else doesn't necessarily believe in them. You can believe in a certain god, but it's hard to believe in all of them, really. Because you'd have to pay respects each and every single day. Take like 10 hours, really.
To all of them, yes. But I don't believe that the gods themselves are jealous, or we would always be running into problems.
But we still run into problems.
Is there anything you want to do about this tower at this point?
Yeah, well, what's the door look like?
It is an archway with a double-doored solid oak door on either side, but the lock itself is busted. With a good solid strength push, we could push it open.
Who will be the brave soul to go and investigate these doors that lie before us? From my arcana check, did I get the feeling that there was anything potentially... like protecting the entranceway to this tower or that?
No. Like if you had to guess, you would think that this is just remnants of arcana and divine magic of the past.
But we have to be sneaky. Are you right?
Yes, we have been sneaky so far up to this door. Now who shall open it?
I can open it.
I'll open it.
Come with me, Coastie. Let us push on the door.
I'll kick it open.
Okay, so you walk up to the door and you just, with your heavy dragon-footed, booted foot, just wind up and kick the door open. All right. You're strong enough, definitely, to just boot one of the sides of the door open. And it goes, creak! Coastie, do you say anything as you look in and you peer into the tower's main floor?
Yup, it definitely looks like it.
Thayan approaches you and says, Coastie, it reminds you of your old tower.
Yeah.
I don't believe that this is the one.
I think it is. It has the symbol and everything on it.
Well, there is no one here, right? I look inside.
Yeah, no, it looks deserted. The ground is covered in dirt. It looks like it maybe 100 years ago was trampled into grooves as soldiers would rush one way or another. There's a broken staircase along the side that circles and circumnavigates the inside of the tower up to the second floor.
Wait, I think I broke one of it.
Is it possible to get to the second floor?
You'd have to stretch to, you know, make an athletics check to go between...
Well, I don't think it would be necessarily me that would get that. But maybe our monkish friend. Flaria, do you think that you could scale this exterior and get to the second floor?
So the staircase wraps around the inside of the tower going up. And it, at several points, it's missing several stairs in the way. But you, being a monkish type person, could jump between the stairs to be able to jump up. Or using the walls.
Fine.
Thank you. It's so kind of you to do this. We're still being quiet, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We're having a whispered conversation about what we're going
to
do.
What do I have to roll?
It's an acrobatics dexterity check.
I will come with her.
Okay. So you're going to follow her up the stairs. And Than says, please be careful. I don't know if I can heal both of you.
Well, I think I could jump across. 18?
That's great. So at one point
can
you
I
have to...
add color?
Sure, of course. Yeah, go ahead.
So I do some parkour and then there's a gap of two stairs. And so I like jump and run up the wall.
Nice.
And then I like land on the stairs and then do parkour all the way up.
Excellent.
And I do the same.
All right, then make your die roll.
And you can actually use your athletics to jump the gaps.
Jump.
And your D20's right in front of you.
He can't run across gaps.
Oh, I think you failed.
Uh-oh.
He has a 2. He's skilled in athletics. He rolled a 2. He's plus 6, so he rolled an 8 total.
Oh, no. So at one point, you don't notice that one of the stairs under you is particularly wobbly and it starts to give way as you're using your strength to jump.
I would like to use my gem and I would like to say that isn't what happened. That actually what happened, Bensaw nudged Than in the ribs and said, hey, guidance. And that allowed Coastie to roll guidance with his check.
Bahamut, guide Coastie as he does these stairs.
Gives him a total of 10.
Not so great. Can you please re-roll a d20 with a dexterity saving throw?
Natural 19.
Yeah, so you manage to swing your arms and grab the step in front of you, almost making a bridge with your body across the gap.
Like a dog.
Yeah, like a dog stretching over something. He's doing a downward dog pose on the stairs.
And I grab his arms and pull him up. That'll be hard because I'm really heavy.
Yes,
so as you two approach the top floor, is Benson going to follow them or wait down below?
Follow.
I think you should wait.
Follow.
Most likely you won't be able to do it. Unless you cast fly on yourself.
Oh no, I am not nearly significant in status to get up there. Does this look particularly difficult? What is the heroic or difficulty of climbing this staircase?
It's a 12.
This would be a most difficult thing for Benson to do. Because I am not skilled with athletics or acrobatics, things like that.
Than also doesn't feel very confident in this.
However, there could be spirits at the second floor. How many floors is this tower?
3.
I think then we should make an endeavor to get up the thing. So because I have a bit more of a skill than you do, you should ask for guidance and I will assist you to get up past the area. And then I will make the check all by myself.
All right.
With some guidance.
And I will gain all your spirit.
Oh!
Order of the day!
I got a 26. So I'm gonna wait on the other side, trying to assist you, help you across, and give you guidance.
Okay, I will make my acrobatics check and do the same thing that Flaria attempted to do and run along the side of the wall because she made it look so easy. I think I can do it too. Here, Flaria, watch. Anyone can do it. Well, I have with. So I proceed, and as I start to run along the wall, Than has to like reach out and push me so that I don't fall off the thing. And then I run along the wall while she's holding me in place. And I get up to the second floor because I've got a total of 15.
And I
think I did it better.
Oh,
I am so winded and tired. Give me a moment to rest on the end of these stairs. That was... I saw my life flash before my eyes. I have not done nearly enough things.
Yeah, your life is like just sitting on a couch watching TV.
If only these things existed in my life of poorness and lackluster fame. But nonetheless, when we are famous and when we have made all of the treasure, we will go forward from there.
We are not.
Have you checked this door yet to see if it is unlocked?
Well, I still have my button that can open it.
You have a lightning blader's key to these doors? Try your key. See, this is, in fact, truly the tower you used to be from.
It worked, I think. I think it will work.
So you pull out a key from your pocket that you've kept all of these years after retiring from your soldier duties. You stick it in the door and you jiggle it. Yes?
I was just going to say, and he pulls it out from his pocket and attached to it is a picture of the person you went to prom with, which was a mop.
No, it wasn't. It was myself.
You went to prom with yourself?
AKA a mop.
Okay.
I'm not a moth.
Coasty, you pull out the key out of your pocket and approach the lock. And what do?
I turn the key and there's a little button on the key says open every door but it's locked. Press the button.
Okay, so it opens this door. And there's a handle, a long, thin metal handle that you pull down when you open it and you push the door open.
Please door open, please.
Okay, so you pull the door handle down, the thin metal door handle, and you push the door open and the door creaks and you see the second floor, which the floor is actually still well maintained, made out of wood. You know that this tower is centuries old, so you're like very surprised. Inside, you see a clutter of maybe people who have been in this tower long ago. You see dust, you see cobwebs, and in the corner you see an abnormally large rat. The rat is about a foot long, and with the tail it maybe comes to about 2 feet long. And the rat turns towards you when you open the door, sits up on its hind legs, and stares at you quizzically.
What do you see, Costi?
A rat.
A what?
A rat.
A rat? Why would there be a rat in this room?
A rat-a-tat.
A rat-a-tat.
All right. Well, let us go in, shall we not?
I would like to make a perception check against any traps that might be on the other side of the door. I will proceed with that. I have a total of six.
You do not think that this place is trapped.
Ah, let us go in, then I shall proceed forward.
Unless anybody else is making perception checks as well.
I'm making a perception check if the rat is evil.
What are you using to determine if the rat is evil or that the rat has any intentions?
Or if the rat is even alive.
The rat is definitely alive. You saw that it moved and that it sat up.
Or?
You cannot tell that the rat has any intentions at this point. It's a rat.
Just a rat? Okay.
Yeah. The rat doesn't seem to be behaving normally, though. This is not really a rule thing. You would think that the rat would run away and hide if you were in situations where you've run into wildlife in the past. The rat stares at you, Coasty. So are you...
What if I moved?
Are you going to go into the room?
I'm going to move upstairs.
You're going to go move towards the staircase that's inside of the room to go to the third floor.
Okay, yes. I will investigate this room a bit more. I will give it a look over and see if there is anything of value or interest for this place.
Yeah, there's broken furniture. There's discarded empty boxes. There's lots and lots of dust and dirt and grime and just things that have mildewed away. There's nothing really interesting in this particular space. You do notice that the rat doesn't move, continuing to sit up on its hind legs, watches you with its head in its eyes as you move across the room.
Is this rat, Flaria, does this rat not seem particularly special to you?
It reminds me of that weird kind of dog, you know, the dog that's like with like the long tail and like kind of flicky.
No, I do not know this thing. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. It's a Ragagog.
I see. Well, do you know anything? I cannot see where this rat could be feeding off things or how this rat comes and goes from this room. Wait.
A rat attack.
There's probably...
There is a window out of this room to the outside.
There's probably some kind of, like, I don't know, rat hole somewhere. That's usually how rats get around rooms.
Okay, but this rat is extremely large, yes, no? A large rat like this who is just sitting and regarding us and not scurrying away? Does this not strike you as particularly...
I'm going to throw it outside.
Peculiar? You will not take the rat and grab it and throw it?
Sure, go ahead. Make an attack roll.
Okay. 3.
And so I do not think you are successful.
No.
Plus.
So as you approach the...
Is it plus what?
Plus...
Well, your plus your strength check, which is plus 4, plus his proficiency bonus, which is 2, so a total of 9.
So not good enough to actually grab the rat. The rat actually weirdly backs up out of
like on
rat.
Its hind legs, mm-hmm. or...
Yeah,
not once if you are a sentient creature.
The rat looks at you, turns its head, and then nods gently.
Heavenful friend, what has happened to you? Flaria.
Oh, what? This is kind of crazy. This is not a ratalog. Ratalogs run away anytime you get close to them.
Whatever shall we do then?
Ugh, I don't know. Rat, do a dance.
The rat turns its head to the other side and like... shakes its head no.
Do a dance!
And then it kind of shrugs with its little rat shoulders and kind of does a little jig.
Ooh, a jig. That's good. Okay.
Rat?
How long have you been here, rat? Do you have any way of writing or telling a story?
Shakes his head no.
Oh, this is unfortunate.
Writing or telling a story, rat?
Rat, can you fight?
Moreover, did you used to be something other than a rat?
Ponders the question and nods.
Did you?
Were you
a human?
He seems confused by that question.
Rat, what's your name?
The rat squeaks like this. Squeak, squeak, squeak.
Okay, squeak.
I am puzzled. Rat, do you live here?
Squeak, squeak.
He, like, it's kind of like a head nod and a shake, like, just sort of.
Oh, do you live on a higher floor?
Meh.
Would you like to come with us to, get access to the higher floor?
I will.
Yeah, and it's like you get another like rat shrug and then he goes towards the stairs himself.
Rat, are you going to come with us on our adventures?
Squeak, squeak.
Yeah, he squeaks.
Okay.
Just nod your head if you...
Was the rat like hiding or standing in that particular part of the room for any reason that I can see?
Roll a perception check.
Can I make an insight check?
Sure.
Actually, I'd like Thayan to make an insight check.
All right. I'm not incredible. Oh, I'm okay at it.
And maybe my friend Falaria could also make an insight check.
I'll make an insight.
With guidance from Than's godliness.
Yeah.
I'll make an insight check with him.
Roll the d4 as well, Robin.
Than's insight check?
Go ahead.
Yeah, as we all examine the room and...
Yeah!
Good roll.
As we all examine the room, the rat, the situation... Than gets an 18. She suspects.
Oh, hold on. We got a 16 natural here, mm-hmm. for Will, and that gives him a total insight check of 19.
16.
Okay. So what did you get?
No. This is why I asked everyone else to
look. Okay. So the three of us, Coasty, Than, and Flaria, all look around the room and say briefly to each other, or at least Than starts by saying, "This rat seems to have been going towards the window from the stairs. I think he was leaving the tower at the time that we opened the door." And Robin, you understand that something a little bit more about the rat, that the rat himself seems to be playing along with us, at least like being friendly at this point in time. And Coasty, you understand that the rat seems to want something from us.
What do you want, rat?
And the rat starts climbing the stairs one at a time, almost like it's about the size of a small, medium dog. So it's climbing the stairs, like, you know, front paws on the step and scrambling up and then next step and then scrambling up all the way up. The rat turns back and like, you know, like motions with its head to continue up the stairs.
Why are you playing along with us?
Rats cannot answer questions that are W questions, like why and what. He cannot say the words.
Rat shrug.
Squeak, squeak.
Hey, Rat, is there danger above for us?
Shakes his head, no.
Oh, okay.
Are you playing
along? Blithely carry along and march ahead of the rat because it's having trouble. These stairs are well tended, or are they breaking apart as well?
No, these ones seem to be in pretty good shape. It seems like just the lower ones maybe.
I remember these stairs being not wanted. I remember being a big mouse in this place. And my old key I found in a door.
That made zero sense, but it was awesome.
Ghosty just grumbles as he goes up the stairs.
This is exactly like my old life.
He's a good old man. I get to the door at the top of the stairs. Is it locked?
It's actually wide open.
Oh, it's wide open. Okay, yeah. So as you like approach, to peer inside.
You actually notice that the roof of the tower from this angle, like you didn't notice it from the other angle, but the roof is actually exposed to the open sky. And we waited until morning to explore the tower, I believe. So this, you can actually see some sun or lit light coming in from the exposed area. It's facing to the south where the open roof is. It looks like it's collapsed long ago.
I just wanted to say, Rat, are you hiding from something from us? Are you?
The rat shrugs.
That is most likely a yes. Given my knowledge of how people work and when they lie, if they cannot, if they... Yes, this is
Rat.
I will walk in through the open door.
Oh, sure. And so actually in this area, underneath some of the rubble from the roof, you actually notice a few chests and swords and like armaments piled up. It's old and battered.
Is all of it exposed to the elements or just a larger portion of the room?
Maybe like a 30% of the roof has fallen in.
Okay. All right. Is there stairs that would lead up to that roof as well?
No. This is the this is like the
How would you have gained access to the roof before then? There's like the vestiges of a
ladder. There is windows on the outside. Four windows facing each of the
Okay.
Coasty gets to the top and says what?
Still like my old place in the tower.
This tower configuration is like kooky cutter, and they used it all the way across the land. You know exactly what this area was used for, which was the upper scouting. So these large window holes were used to see for miles and miles and miles. And actually to the south, the window to the south, which you can kind of see through all of the rubble that has fallen in from the roof, you can actually see Waterdeep.
I would like to do a perception check on these chests and whatnot to see if I can find something of value.
Sure,
In this area. I'm looking for something specific. So is that investigation or perception?
That would be investigation.
All right. I will do that now. I have 14.
So a lot of it is rusted, all of the, you know, weaponry and stuff like that. The chests themselves look like they can be easily pried open.
Yep.
And one or two of them is actually unlocked, and inside of them are what you would suspect to be Coasty from your years as being a soldier, like the pay of a troop battalion. It looks like it's gold from years gone by.
Indeed. How much are we talking about here?
Oh, maybe 100 gold in one of the smaller chests.
Benson's eyes take on a squint and a gleam.
Oh my God.
In the light of the morning sun.
He's in one of his money moods.
And he begins to stroke the coins appreciatively as he tries to figure out the best way to abscond with them. And Benson begins to just completely ignore the people around him and the rat as he begins to go through the coins.
Coasty.
Thayn does something weird at this Coasty moment, which is that she looks at the rat and...
What? There we are. Benson's in one of his money moods. Ugh. No. He won't be very useful for very long. And then I just go over and scoop up all of the money and then like put it in all of his pockets.
So as you have been captured by the sight of all of this gold in this small chest, the rat actually seems to be staring at you quite intently. And Thayn, almost like jolted, grabs for her mate, Warhammer.
Oh, no.
And is in initiative with the rat.
And I am not.
Nope.
And I'm just taking all of the money.
Well, no, you could have
putting it in your pockets. On.
Maybe your passive perception is good enough. The storyteller can ask you what your passive perception is.
What's your passive perception?
Why do I have to do it?
Just tell me what your passive perception is.
My passive perception is 14.
Okay, so you notice Thayn react this way, and you can roll initiative to be able to get in the initiative order.
And Coasty's passive perception is 13.
Okay. Yes, you can also roll initiative.
What do we do when we roll initiative? We all go...
Order of the Day!
Coasty, what's your initiative?
12.
And Coasty, what's your initiative? What did you roll?
1, 10.
A 10? And do you have a plus to initiative?
He rolled a 10?
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Roll 1 and a 10.
Oh, a 1 and an 8. So he has a 21 initiative.
Okay.
So, which is also what my initiative is when I happen to be allowed to act in initiative.
Okay. Coasty, you see Thayn reach for her Warhammer. She hasn't had a chance to say anything yet because also the rat is also reacting to something. What would you like to do, Coasty?
Wait. Does it have hair?
The rat?
Yeah.
No, actually. It's hairless.
I would like to walk into the room. I like to grab all the money from Bensant and wait, do I still have the magic key?
Yes, but what do you want to do in the moment that you're in the room?
I want to roll fighting.
What are you going to aim at?
The rat.
Okay.
I'm going to slice him with my sword.
Okay, roll your dice. 15 is a hit on the rat.
All right.
Please do your damage.
What does he attack with? He attacks with his great sword.
Great sword. And that churry.
His weapon magical?
Yes, this is the magical great sword that he had, right? So you roll your 2d6 and you get to add your damage to that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
6 plus 5 is 11.
11 damage. Wow, that's awesome.
No, it was 9.
Yeah, no, that's what you rolled to hit. This is the damage that you...
And that was the sword that we found in the tomb, right?
Correct, yes.
Yeah,
the flying sword.
That's awesome. The next person to act is Flaria.
I go behind Thayn, look over her shoulder, and look directly where she's looking.
Okay, roll a perception check. That's great, with advantage, because that was great color. Okay, so...
She's a monk, so she's got great wisdom and perception skills pretty high. So I think that's a 14 total.
Yeah, so you can definitely tell that Thayn is looking at the rat as Coasty beats the crap out of it.
Thayn, are you okay?
And she actually goes next and she says, that rat is unnatural. And she grabs her Warhammer to be able to attack the rat. And so that's what she's going to do. She's going to hit the rat. Thayn hits with her Warhammer on the rat, squishing it, and blood of a unnatural red color comes out of the rat.
Like dark or bright?
Like bright. And the rat, it almost like smokes. The blood almost smokes as it's on the ground.
Because of the sunlight or because of the air? What's
gonna happen? It touches the air, it's the rat's turn. The rat's actually going to turn around and attack Thayn and attempt to bite her. 18 hits her. It's 1d4 and 3d6. So the imp does 9
the imp?
Damage to
Thayn. The imp does 9 damage.
The imp does 9 damage to Thayn.
It's an imp.
As these like putrid teeth dripping with some sort of poison bite into her dragon flesh and cause her to have a festering wound. Benson.
It is a new round.
It is a new round. And I'm going to say you get to go.
I look up from the coins I am covetously holding and I say, what is it? No, friendship. We are more important things than material goods, for they come and go. But the bonds of friendship last forever. Unhand, my friend. And I will cast... So I think that it's going to have to be Chromatic Orb on this horrendous imp. Am I allowed to make an Arcana check? Do I know if imps are resistant to fire or not?
How did you know it was an imp?
Because you said imp twice.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I thought I meant to say rat.
Yes. This rat imp.
Imp rat.
Yeah. Am I allowed to make an Arcana check to know if this creature is resistant to fire potentially?
Yes.
I don't have a clue. Yay, I got a 11.
Oops.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's good enough or not. I will cast Chromatic Orb on the creature doing fire damage with Chromatic Orb on the imp.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
A natural 18 and 6 is 24 to hit.
It hits and does so much damage.
Oh, like no damage? Do I not even roll?
It's immune to fire damage. So,
and my 11 told me that that was... Okay.
Even though the storyteller screwed up and said that it was an imp, you don't know that it's an imp in its current form. Could just be a dire, weird-ass rat.
Okay, that's everything
rat
for me.
Imp thing of rat, die!
It's Coastie's turn.
So when Benson sees that these fire is once again completely does nothing, he grumbles to himself about... He sees fire. It is the element of life, and it should destroy everything, but so many things are immune to it.
All right, Coasty, it's your turn. What would you like to do?
I will slice him through the head.
Okay, roll.
That is a 15.
That's a hit. Roll your 2d6.
Reroll this one. 15 damage.
All right, so you are successful in slicing the rat through his head. Do you want to add some color to that?
And there's going to be orange blood coming out of it.
And it steams and it smokes as your magical blade cuts through his spinal column and his neck. And as you decapitate the rat, it actually transforms back into its base form, which, bearing the lead, I gave away earlier, as an imp, a little flying, demonic-looking creature with wings, with now a decapitated head.
Perhaps you should have spoken words, stupid creature of the darkness, and then we would not have encountered such death and devastation for you.
Thayn says that her god gave her a vision that this creature was not to be trusted.
What did it want?
Perhaps to trap us and trap our immortal souls.
There is many chests of gold and silver and copper. Let us carry them henceforth from this tower.
Coasty remembers there's a few traps around here.
Well, we will be very careful, but we will save that for...
the next time.
Burn brighter than yesterday, and through the battles we wage. When our shields fall away, the armor cracks and breaks. If ever our torches fade.
Thanks for listening to Tavern Tales Family, The Order of the D, Episode 1. If you enjoyed the episode, please feel free to give us a rating on iTunes and check us out at www.taverntales.ca or on Twitter at @tavern_tales. Our intro and outro music is the song Dragonhearted, a single by Tryhard Ninja. Find out more about Tryhard Ninja on Twitter at @tryhardninja or on iTunes at @tryhardninja or check out their channel on YouTube. Try Hard Ninja. Thanks again, and see you next week for another adventure.